The following program contains coarse language and mockery. Viewer discretion is advised.
The man, Christ Jesus. So the one who sits on the throne at the right hand of the Father is still a man. He's a glorified man. He is an immortal man, but he's still a man.
Yes.
And humanity has limitations. And one of the things we know about humanity is that men do not pre-exist their birth. They do not live in other lives and do things prior to their birth. Yeah. Otherwise, they're not men.
And there he was, ladies and gentlemen, Clyde Pilkington, one of the chiefs of the Tory position, one of the chiefs of the Jesus Christ is just like us, one of the main spokespeople of Christ had no glory with the Father before the world was. Christ created nothing. Christ is not the firstborn of all of creation. Nothing came into existence through Christ. All these terrible, terrible teachings, and this man is one of the representatives of it. You saw the deference, the respect, the awe that the others were giving him. When Clyde Pilkington talks, everybody else shuts up. And yet, what did you hear? You heard one of the most amateurish mistakes that anyone can make, a basic flaw of logic called false equivalence. I covered it yesterday. I'm going to give you a new analogy today. I don't like the analogy I gave yesterday, saying that because Jesus Christ was a man and we are men, we're walking around on the earth just like Jesus Christ did. We have two arms and two legs and a head just like Jesus Christ did. We get hungry just like Jesus Christ did. Humanity has limitations. Therefore, I didn't pre-exist. Did I? Did I gallivant around with God before I was born? No, then neither did Jesus Christ. My God, have you looked at his resume, his pedigree? How can you say that? Because we're both walking upon the earth. Am I not walking upon the earth? Did not Jesus Christ walk upon the earth? Do not I have a head, two arms, two legs? Did not Jesus Christ have the same thing? He was a human. Humanity has limitations, period. Humanity has limitations. I have limitations. Therefore, Jesus Christ has the same limitations. My God, this is the most amateurish mistake you can make. And this is the go-to guy. This is one of the main men in the body of Christ as far as teachers go, as far as having influence, as far as people looking to for teaching, for wisdom. And this is the wisdom. No, in fact, if you want to know where the next sect is coming from, go to that channel. It'll be coming from that camp, I am pretty sure, because so many sects, so many false teachings have arisen of late from that direction that it seems logical. Seems normal and natural, unfortunately, that the next one will come from there as well. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to the show. The warning is real. I'm going to try to finish this in three shows. If it takes four, it takes four, but I want to wind down. I know that I can't convince the Tories. I'm not going to convince Clyde. I'm not going to convince Peter May. I'm not going to convince Richard Golko. I'm not going to convince the pirate. Not gonna convince Liam McAllister. I'm not gonna convince any of those people. But just like the firemen who spray down the houses next to the house that's on fire. Why do they do that? Those houses aren't on fire. To keep them from catching. Because this doctrine is a black hole. If you get too close to it to peer over the edge, somehow it's powerful and you will be sucked into it. I don't know what the attraction is of demeaning Christ, of stripping him. The Romans stripped him of his clothing, but the Tories are stripping him of his glory. And I'm going to make three main points that I want you to remember. That's why I'm boiling it down to three. And I want to reiterate what I said yesterday, but I want to make a better analogy to help you see it. I'm going to ridicule this position, which deserves ridicule. Just think of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Elijah mocked and ridiculed the prophets of Baal. Remember the contest on Mount Carmel? Let's build an altar, put wood on the altar, and see who's God. Each of us will call upon our God. The Baal worshippers will call upon Baal. And I, Elijah, will call upon the true God to bring fire down upon the altar. We'll see which God is the true God. And of course, Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal who danced around their altar, kept failing to bring down fire. Elijah mocks them, saying, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's asleep. That's it. He's taking a nap. Yell louder. And they did. They took the bait completely. This is equally as important. We are not trying to find out who the true God is. We are trying to find out who the true Christ is. Who is the true Christ? The Christ who created everything or the Christ who created nothing? What could be more important? And so I will ridicule the opponents of this truth to show you without a shadow of a doubt how foolish, how amateurish, how juvenile, how really, and I'm going to say it, stupid this teaching is. I want to say ignorant. It's more decent to say ignorant. What I'm going to do is show you two instances of unintentional ignorance and one instance of admitted ignorance. I really want to say stupidity because stupid is a sound word. God uses it in Romans chapter 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they are made stupid. And what the mistake you just saw one of the chiefs making is dumb is another good word, but it's not a scriptural word. Stupid is a scriptural word, tried seven times in a furnace, found acceptable by God and put into his revelation. The Greek word is moron. That's the Greek word translated stupid in the concordant version, moron. M-O-R-O-N. It fits. It really does fit. So let's see if I can finish in three shows. I want to wind this down. And again, I am after people on the fence. And along that line, I'm trying to reach people who can't make up their minds. And I got a great comment today that just made my day. Someone called Urbicus said this: hey, Martin, I considered sitting on the fence with this issue after keeping an open mind to what they are trying to convey, but you are definitely keeping me grounded with your awesome knack for teaching. You are sticking with scripture and they are slipping off the rails with this one. Thanks for your persistent care for scripture and truth. God bless you and yours. Urbicus, you made my day with that comment. Thank you very much. It is about scripture. And I was taught for 8 years, I studied concordant material and I learned principles of study. I learned how to read. I learned how to interpret scripture. I learned about rules of scriptural interpretation. I learned from the best. I learned from A.E. Nock and Dean Huff and James Corm and many others. Vladimir Gelesnov, the writers of Unsearchable Riches magazine. I am old school, along with a few others on this channel. We are old school in that we don't fire a machine gun from the hip. We're not into ideas or theories. We are into scriptural facts. We are not into torturing scripture. We are into believing scripture. Again, we follow rules. And it's so important to do that. That's why you like this channel. That's why you watch. If I'm giving an opinion, I tell you I'm giving an opinion. But for the most part, it is scripture, scripture, scripture. It is context, context, context. And it is a natural reading of the Word of God, not a tortured reading like the Tories do. They torture the simple Word of God. I just had a guy from the Netherlands commenting today, saying that Christ had a glory, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. He said, well, you can have something that doesn't exist. It made an absurd comment. This man is a teacher from the Netherlands, a respected teacher over there. And yet, obviously torturing the Word, trying hard. And I asked him, why are you trying so hard to not read this for what it says? Why are you making yourself? Why do you feel compelled to come up with another reading of something that makes perfect sense on its face after the first reading? John and all the letters of the Greek scriptures of the New Testament, they were all written to people who had these letters read to them in a group setting. They didn't sit down and cut them apart and ask everybody for an interpretation. They read them like you read a letter from home or a letter from your son in the army or from your daughter at college, and you just read it. They didn't second guess it. If it was something obvious like, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was, then you just believed it. You didn't have a presupposition about that. You didn't have a presupposition that, well, we know Jesus Christ didn't exist. No, because this verse proved that he did. This verse proves that he did. So what I'm going to look at are two instances of unintentional ignorance. They're not trying to be stupid with this false equivalence, which you just saw Clyde doing. Clyde doesn't even know it's a law. He doesn't even know it's a rule. He can't be told. I've tried to tell him. He made the same mistake with the law of the metaphor in his book, Wife Loving, and I tried to tell him, but he won't listen. He can't be corrected. And he explained why. Somebody asked him. Steve Martin asked him, what do you do? I saw this in a recent interview. What do you do with all the criticism you've been getting? He didn't mention my name, but I was obviously implied. Clyde took a cue from Nehemiah on the wall with building the temple, rebuilding the temple after the Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah said something to the effect that, well, I'm on the wall, I can't be bothered. Nehemiah, there are people down here to see you. I can't be bothered, I'm on the wall. Clyde can't be bothered. He doesn't care. So I'm not going to change Clyde's mind. There's no... There was a day when I think I could have. What we have here is a little Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. There was a day. But that day's not now. There are two instances of unintentional ignorance. One instance of admitted ignorance, but there's two people admitting to it. I'm going to save that for last because that's a bombshell. That is an atomic bomb. Two of them are actually admitting that they're ignorant, that they don't know anything about what they're trying to disprove. How can you disprove something you absolutely don't understand? And here they are admitting they don't understand it. This is the final argument I'm going to make a couple days from now. So what is false equivalence? What did you just hear Mr. Pilkington do? False equivalence says that because two people or two things have one thing in common, therefore they have everything in common. I mean, that should be dumb on its face. What is the second point I want to finish with in the next couple, three, 4 days, God help me, 4 days possibly, but there's some great comments I need to read to put the icing on the top of this thing. It's a breaking or an ignorance of the law of the metaphor or the law of analogy, which is kind of like false equivalence, and it takes one point of comparison between two things and insists that everything has to be alike. It sounds like exactly the same thing, but you can do that with a metaphor. And because a certain metaphor is used, for instance, Paul says, I betrothed you as a virgin to Christ. As a virgin. Oh, what does Paul mean? As a virgin. Well, he explains it later on in the passage where he talks about your singleness and purity. But somebody could take that too far. Somebody could say that because there's one point of being a virgin, Paul's comparing a virgin to the body of Christ. A most strange comparison. A virgin and the body of Christ have more dissimilarities than similarities. That's the key of a metaphor. It has more dissimilarities than similarities. There is one point of contact. And when you find it, you stop. You stop. These men, Clyde Billington, doesn't stop. They see the one point, and then they keep going, and they apply it down the line. This happens in Philippians 2, 5, 8. When Paul says, let this disposition, I'm going to get into this tomorrow. Paul says, let this disposition be in you, which is in Christ Jesus also. And then he goes on to talk about what Christ Jesus did. Yet these men in this task force on this video are so ignorant. They point to this place, and this is just, I'm just whetting your appetite. For tomorrow, they point at Philippians 2, 5, 8, let this disposition be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Who, and then starting with who, Paul then describes what Christ Jesus did. Paul's not saying that we are to do or could possibly do everything Christ Jesus did. That's taking it too far. That's taking one point of contact and not stopping. The one point of contact, let this disposition be in you. In other words, be as humble as Christ was when he did this. Obviously, you're not going to do what Christ did. You have your own situation. But you can look at Christ as an example of humility. Well, there's an example of humility. Who, being in the form of God and deeming it not pillaging to be equal with God, empties himself, coming to be in fashion as a human. Takes the form of a slave, coming to be in fashion as a human. These guys actually say, they're actually teaching on the screen. Well, Paul, how could Paul expect us to take the form of God and to come to be in the form of God and then take the form of... We can't possibly do any of that. Paul can't be asking that of us. Well, he's not. He's just saying, have the same kind of humility, not the same exact degree of humility, the kind of humility Christ had, not the degree of it. It's so simple. It's just like, let this be your example, and then here's what Christ did. They look at that and say, well, Paul's telling us we're supposed to do that. And so this is even stupider, what they do next. They say, well, since we can't possibly do that, we're going to say Christ didn't do it. Okay, I'm going to get into this more tomorrow. These people, it's like they're going to bat at Yankee Stadium. They're taking on a topic that is way beyond them. And they're coming to the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, especially in my audience, the smartest audience on YouTube, we have people who for years have studied the Word of God, who are old schoolers, just like I am, follow laws of language, follow rules of scriptural interpretation. You can't get this T-ball crap past us. So these people are my analogy here is it's like they're going to bat at Yankee Stadium to present this to the body of Christ, which includes many, many scholars, smart people, who mainstream lettered graduates of theological seminaries could not come against many of you, could not. They would fall flat on their faces. These guys are trying to sell this load of crap to the body of Christ. They're like stepping up to bat at Yankee Stadium, stepping up to the plate with a wiffle ball bat, a plastic wiffle ball bat. That's what you just saw Clyde swinging in the opening clip. That's a wiffle ball bat. It's utterly stupid. Does not understand the logical fallacy of false equivalence. Doesn't get it because we're humans, Christ and us, and because all humans have limitations, Christ has the same limitations we do. Got a new analogy for you today. If I get to it, Oh my goodness. And then, of course, they admit their ignorance, going to save that for the ends. So, yeah, the Tories aren't going to be changed. I know that. This is putting water on the houses next to the Tories. Wait, forget the Trump analogy yesterday. I don't like that analogy anymore. I mean, it's good. It suffices. It's accurate, but I'm not happy with it. I have a better one. Well, I actually stole it from the internet. You have two people drinking wine for dinner at a dinner table. One of them is a known alcoholic. The other one drinks one glass a day at dinner. This is his only glass of wine. He's drinking it at dinner. The other guy's also drinking a glass of wine at dinner, but he's an alcoholic. A visitor comes in, sees two people drinking wine, learns that one is a confirmed alcoholic. And he asks, this visitor asks, how long has this other guy been an alcoholic? The visitor is told, well, no, he's not an alcoholic. He's sober. The visitor says, no, he can't be. Yes, but he is. Visitor says, he can't be. Why not? Why can't he be? Well, it's because this guy, you told me this guy's an alcoholic. Yeah, that guy is an alcoholic. But these are two different people. The visitor says, no, but they're both drinking wine at this table. And since they're both here drinking wine, then they're both alcoholics. Based on what? Based on the fact that they're both at this table drinking wine. In that analogy, everybody can see through that. So plain to see. That because two people are at a table drinking wine and one is an alcoholic, to make the assumption that just because the other one is also drinking wine at this table, he also is an alcoholic. That is exactly what Clyde did at the beginning. The first clip you saw, and I played it yesterday, because I want to be sure that you see the fallacy. That's exactly what they are doing with Christ. They are assuming that because we walk the earth just like Christ walked the earth, we're both at the table drinking wine. We're both walking the earth. We're both getting tired. We both have two arms, two legs, a head. Therefore, and here's Clyde's big law that he made up. He made it up in the sense that he thinks it applies to both us and Christ. Humanity has limitations. Humanity has limitations. But wait a minute. You're putting us and Christ, and you're lumping us into one category of humanity, and you're saying humanity as a whole has limitations, and you're not considering that we have two completely different individuals here, us and Christ, with completely different pedigrees, completely different resumes, and you're saying we're both the same, and you're declaring it as a law, as a rule. Like, this is so, therefore this is so. And every Tory is sitting there going, oh, Clyde Pilkington, this is the man. Oh, what wisdom. And they're all smiling. Richard Gokel, like, yee, beaming like he just won the lottery. Oh, he loves hearing this. And yet it's the most ignorant utterance I have heard in a long time. But they're accepting it as wisdom from above. Listen to this. Humanity has limitations. That's so true. And we're walking on the earth just like Christ walked on the earth. Wow, therefore, I didn't pre-exist. I never gallivanted around before I was born. One thing we know about humanity, none of us gallivant around or do anything before we were born. Therefore, because Christ also walked on this earth. Therefore, because this other guy's also sitting at the table drinking wine, he's got to be an alcoholic like the other guy. And this man over here, Jesus Christ, he must be. He must be facing the same limitations as us. And because we didn't pre-exist, therefore he doesn't pre-exist. Oh, the wisdom from above, coming from the man to whom many, many hundreds give deference as knowing what he's talking about. And yet, he steps up to the plate in Yankee Stadium with a plastic wiffle bat. Now let's talk about Peter and Jesus. This viewpoint is so immature, I kind of want to imitate a baby here. I mean, that's my temptation. This is where the ridicule comes in. This was the warning at the beginning of the show. A baby looks at Peter and Jesus.
I see two human beings here, Jesus and Peter. Look, there's two human beings. They're both sitting at a fire. I'm watching them. Look at the similarities.
The baby's kind of Jewish, kind of Bronxish, you know. I think it's the young offspring of the other Jewish lady that I tend to imitate.
They're both sitting at a fire, both eating fish. Looks like they're both getting tired at the same time. Look, I'm looking at them. They're both getting tired at the same time. They're both yawning. There's more. They both have arms, two legs, a head. Both have two arms, two legs, a head. Oh, look. They both have beards and mustaches.
Oh, yes. That's Jesus of Nazareth and Peter of Capernaum. Oh, a much different history.
No, stop that. They're both human beings, are they not?
Well,
they're both human beings. They're both at this campfire. I'm seeing them. They're at a campfire. There they are. Look at them. Each has two arms, two legs, a head. Almost identical beards. It's amazing.
Yes, I know, but they're quite different. You see, one is out of the soil, soilish. The other one is out of heaven, celestial.
Shut up! Shut up!
One can walk on water. You see, the other can barely walk. Period.
Now, I'm looking with my own eyes. Two arms, two legs, one head, beards, eating fish, getting tired. They're the same. They're the same. They're the same.
No, no, they're nothing like each other. Jesus, you see, he's the Son of God. He's the firstborn of all creation. Let me show you his pedigree. Let me show you some verses from the scripture. See, this one, Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God, the firstborn of all creation. See, he had a glory with the Father before the world was. In fact, before Abraham was, he was. He was once in the form of God, but he emptied himself to look like the guy he's sitting next to there. But the guy he's sitting next to there, Peter, see, he's not the firstborn of all creation, okay? He didn't have a glory with the Father before the world was. See, he did not exist before Abraham. He was never in the form of God, believe me. In fact, he was the ugliest kid at his school. And the only thing he ever emptied himself of, the only thing he continues to empty himself of is his bladder, his bowels, and his fishing boat. And his fishing boat.
No, stop it! Stop it! No, no, no. Humanity has limitations. I'm looking at humanity. I'm looking at two specimens of human beings. I'm looking at them. They got identical beards. Stop it! Humanity has limitations. Humanity has limitations. They're both eating fish. They're both getting tired. Look, they're both yawning. Humanity has limitations. I'm looking at humanity. They're the same. The same. The same.
You're crazy.
No, I'm not. I'm a Tory.
Yeah, well, like I said,